this morning comes from the Gospel of John, first from chapter 7, verses 37 to 44. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." And still others said, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not the Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. In John 4:14, Jesus said, "Whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Over the next few Sundays, we're going to look at some of the times when Jesus said, "Come." Come is an invitation to be near, to come close, to be intimate. Come puts us in a place to see and experience the wonder of God. And Jesus says, "Come," way more often than he says, "Go." And even when he says, "Go," it's go with me, not go away from me. So when we are far from Jesus, Jesus calls us to come. And when we are near, his invitation is to come with me. Today we hear the invitation, "Come all who thirst." Now the idea of being thirsty isn't anything new to us. We have all experienced being thirsty. And I'm sure we've all experienced that beautiful quenching delight when we drink something cold on a hot and sunny day when we are thirsty. And so Jesus is using something that is very familiar to us to teach us something about a spiritual truth. Jesus offers an invitation that comes right out of the Old Testament. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, it says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters." Now, Isaiah 55 is what we call a messianic chapter. It's a portion of the Old Testament that is all about the Messiah. And this chapter outlines the new covenant relationship that God will establish with his people, the church, us. And it begins with the personal invitation, "Come. Come all who are thirsty." Now Isaiah continues to say, "Come to the waters." And Jesus phrases it a little differently. Jesus says, "Come to me and drink." So Jesus is connecting for us that he is the source of the water prophesied in Isaiah 55. Jesus is the source of this water. In fact, Jesus calls it living water. And as we read this morning, he says, "If you drink this water that I give, you will never thirst again." Jesus, of course, is not talking about this natural occurrence of our bodies to feel thirsty. Christians get physically thirsty. But he's teaching about a spiritual thirst, a thirst in our core that only living water can quench. And when that living water is in us, we don't thirst in the same way that somebody who doesn't know Jesus may thirst for something more in life. We already have that more. We're made in God's image. And we have this place in our hearts that only God can fill. And this living water is what fills that space. And it gives us a sense of spiritual contentment and satisfaction. and in fact we become a spring of water. So we become like a secondary source to the original source. In the same way that Jesus calls us to be salt and says that we are light, which are things that he was, he also makes us a source of living water because of the Holy Spirit in us. This is God's image restored in us. And when these qualities of Jesus become apparent in our lives, salt, light, and water, people will experience God through us. Without God, no matter what success we might squeeze out of this world, we will always have this space that can only be filled by God. We will always have this space that feels empty, that there's something more that we need. It's why we hear people who have a lot of world wealth being so unhappy and continuing to search for something more. They are thirsty, and they don't understand what is missing. They don't understand that only God can satisfy that longing. And so they distract themselves in pursuit of what is truly very near to them. Now, researchers have studied the human brain, and they have realized that we often confuse the signal our brain sends for thirsty with hunger, meaning that our body's saying, hey, I'm thirsty, and so we eat instead. We've probably all done that. I know, I'm sure I've done that. And so I think maybe this can happen spiritually, too. We confuse God's invitation to come and drink with go and do. When God is calling us just to come and sit and drink in his love, just to be present in his space, we miss up the signals and think we ought to be doing something. Remember the story of Mary and Martha. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus while he teaches, and she's just basking in his love and listening to his words. And Martha is busy serving, getting lunch ready, and her heart is troubled. And Jesus says that Mary has chosen the better part. We need to be like Mary. Because even when we have a well of living water in us, we still need to drink it. And so we can find ourselves thirsting for God when we're full of the water. We miss that we need to drink, which means to sit in the presence, to give God time. It's like being thirsty and there's a tap right beside you that's running with water. You just have to reach over to get a glass. But you stand by the sink and think, man, am I ever thirsty. We have to spend time connecting with our Father to drink what is in us. Unfortunately, we often measure our Christian walk by what we do, and maybe by what scriptures we know, how well versed we might be in the Bible. And we miss the importance of the invitation to come. It's so simple. It's uncomplicated, but sometimes we make it hard. And in our scripture today, we see that after the invitation, all the people begin to overthink what Jesus has said. On hearing his words, some of the people are like, this must be a prophet. And others, no, I think he's the Messiah. And others are like, wait, he can't be the Messiah, he's from the wrong town. And they begin this overthinking and this confusion and division rather than just hear what Jesus has said. How do we reply to that invitation? Do we overthink it? When Jesus is calling us just to come for a few moments, spend time with me, Do we complicate it? Well, I don't really have time this morning. My mornings are busy. Morning's not a good time for me to meet with you, Lord. Well, by the time the end of the day rolls around, I'm really just too tired. I just kind of want to veg maybe in front of the TV or just, it's not a good time. My mind is too cluttered and I'm just too tired. Or we might say things like, oh, Lord, you don't need me. I'm not the kind of person you draw toward you. I'm not the kind of person you invite to come. Like, I'm okay, but I'm not great. And, well, you know my thoughts and, well, you know my vocabulary. You know all these things. And I'm not the kind of person that should be sitting at your feet. We complicate what is very simple. Jesus puts no conditions upon his invitation. He doesn't say, okay, go straighten out your life, go get a little Bible knowledge, go do these things, and then come to me. No. Just come. Just come. As you are, in your brokenness. God loves when we come in our brokenness. Because that's humbling. That's surrender. And so this invitation is so very simple. Just come. Come and talk to me. Come and spend time in my presence. You don't have to open a Bible. You don't even have to formulate a prayer. You just come and think of his name, Jesus. That's how simple it is. Because Jesus is standing there and he says, look, I can see that you're thirsty. I've even given you living water, but you're not drinking it. I know what you need. I am what you need. Come. Come and drink. In the natural, when we are dehydrated, we become tired and confused. What if the same is true spiritually? We become confused about what we believe, and we feel worn out in doing good deeds because we're dehydrated. Our cup is supposed to overflow. But if we don't spend time with the source of that water, how can it? So let's be like Mary and heed the invitation of Jesus to come and sit at his feet, drink, and thirst no more. Revived by God's thirst-quenching love, go from this place to live the good news of love in the world. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.